Francis Chan says in his book, many Christians have been taught in church or by their parents to set aside a daily time for prayer and scripture reading. It's what we're supposed to do. And for so long, time, it's what valiantly we attempted was to do that. When I didn't do it, I felt guilty. And I've been a part of that. Over time, he said, I realized that when we love God, we naturally just run to him frequently and zealously. Jesus didn't command that we have a regular time with him each day. Rather, he tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And Mark 12:29-31. He called this the first and the greatest commandment. And the results of intimate prayer and study of his word, our motivation changes from guilt to love. And what I mean by that is I don't feel guilty that I didn't get a chance to spend time with God. I just feel like I missed out on an opportunity where I'm not getting up and I feel bad about it. And God is just saying that I don't want you to feel bad if you don't spend time with me. I want it to come out of a position of love, not of something that you made yourself do. And I believe that that's very important to understand, because our relationship and everything that we have in it stems from our love from God. He also talked about when he took some time out and he went to the woods and he had read in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, thoughts to prosper you and all these things. And what he said was, I looked at this in this verse, and my next life, my next thought in the alone in the woods was that I determined what that he determined for Jeremiah, what was he was done, what he was supposed to do in his life was already called to be done before he was going to do it. And he said, I question whether that was also true of me, or maybe this only pertained to Jeremiah's life, where God said that I have ordained and I have called you to do great and mighty things, and I've already ordained it before you were born. And the author says, I wonder if that's the true same of my life. And I want to turn your attention towards Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He said that I remembered in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which tells us that we were created to do good works. Everybody say good works. Which God prepared in advance for us to do, which means that God has prepared in my life for me to do good works.
Hello, this is Pastor Tom Pickens of Antelope Valley Christian Center, and you are listening to the Word of Victory.
He didn't say that I have prepared for you to do bad works. I have prepared and I have ordained and I have created you to do good works. So somebody says, what am I created? Number one, you're created to do good works. You're not created to do bad works. Well, why am I here? God said that I have created you and you are my workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and I have created you to do good works. And then he says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6 through 10, which I think is an awesome verse. It says that, but the Lord said to me, I do not say, Jeremiah, that I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to, and whatever I command you, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord will reach out his hand and touch my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, tear down, destroy, overthrow, build, and to plant. What just happened? Well, number one, God came to Jeremiah and he said that I have created you and destined you to do great things, but they won't happen in and of themselves. The first thing that you've got to do when you hear God's voice upon acting upon it and you see it in his word, or you're pursuing your dreams, the first thing that you've got to do is you can't look at yourself. You can't look at your inabilities, your insecurities, and the things that you can't do. Because in and of yourself, you can't do what God needs you to do. But with God, all things are possible. The Bible says that I can do all things through who? Who strengthens me, not all things through myself. And I think that's why a lot of us struggle, is because we think that we've got to do it in and of ourselves, by ourselves, with ourselves, and in our own might. And when you learn to release your future, when you learn to release your abilities, when you learn to release yourself fully to God, he's going to say to you, do not say that I am only a child. In other words, do not say that I am only a person. Do not say that I am only in this work. Do not say that I only have these strengths and abilities. Do not say that I came from just this background. Do not say that I only have a certain amount of money. God, how are you calling me to be rich like Abraham and have full blessings? And how are you calling me to have more than enough to be able to give to others when I only have $400 in my bank account and I never have enough at the end of the month? And God is saying, I am not looking for you to see how you grew up. I'm not looking for you to tell me what you have. I know you. And God is saying that the problem is you need to learn how to know me. Because when you know me, you'll operate with me. And so he's saying, don't say that I'm only a child. You must go to everyone that I send you to. And whatever I tell you to say, say it. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. And the cool thing about this is I don't have to be afraid because God is with me. Now, if God weren't with me, I'd probably be a little afraid. But when God says that I am with you, that means that don't be afraid. And he also says, I will rescue you. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Because of that, see today that I have appointed you over nations and kingdoms to do all of these great things. And God is saying that I have touched your mouth. God is saying that it is my grace and my ability upon you. But God is saying in order for you to operate in that, you've got to operate in something called faith. When Jeremiah voices his hesitation and fear, God, the God of the galaxies, reaches out and touches his mouth. It's a gentle and affectionate gesture, something that a loving parent would do. Through this illustration, he said, I realize that I don't have to worry about not meeting God's expectations. God will ensure my success in accordance with his plan and not mine. A lot of people say, well, I'm trying to figure out my life. And I'm going to say, well, you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life. Why? Because it's not your job to figure out your life and plan out your life. It's your job to figure out God. And when you figure out God and hook in with God, then God will show you the plan and the purposes that he has upon your life. You cannot do what God has called you to do until you stop trying to figure everything out in your head. So why, when we constantly offend God and we're so unlovable and unloving, does God persistently love us? Why does God still love us despite us? He says, I don't have an answer to this question, but I know that if God's mercy didn't exist, there would be no hope. No matter how good we try to be, we will be punished because of our sins. And a lot of people look at their lives and they weigh their sins against their good deeds. But Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Our good deeds can never outweigh our sins. The person that wakes up and they say, well, you know, I prayed and then I read my Bible, but then towards the middle of the day, I flipped somebody off and then I cursed somebody out and then I didn't really walk in love and then I was really angry and I did a bunch of other stuff. But hey, I did four sins, and but I did four good things. So doesn't that mean that I'm a good person? And God said, it doesn't work like that. You can never be good in and of yourself. God is saying that don't try to outweigh your sins with the great things that you do. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 is the greatest knowledge that we can ever have, knowing that God treasures us. He gives a story of about when he was speaking to some college students recently, and an interesting twist on the contrast between our own responsiveness on God's great desire for us came up. He said, one student asked, why would a loving God force me to love him? It seemed like a weird question. When I asked the student to clarify what he meant, he responded that God threatens me with hell and punishment if I don't begin a relationship with him. The easy retort to that statement is that God doesn't force us to love him. It's our choice. But there was a deeper issue going on at that time. And he said, I wasn't for sure how to answer it at that time. But he said, now that I've had time to think about it, I would answer the student like this. If God is truly the greatest good on this earth, which he is, would he be loving us if he didn't draw us toward what is best for us, even if that good being himself? Doesn't God courting, luring, pushing, calling, and sometimes annoying us demonstrate his love? If he didn't do that, wouldn't we accuse him of being unloving in the end when all things are revealed? God, if you were the greatest good, God, if you were love, God, if you were the best thing that I could have in my life, then why didn't you push me? Why didn't you persist in loving me? And that's what God does. That's why the Holy Spirit said, I am there to convict you, not condemn you. But if you're not doing something all the way right, I'm trying to pull you, to push you to do it all the way right. If you're not understanding of how to give, I'm trying to give you and push you on how to give. Why? So that my abundance can be evident in your life. But not only that, that's my nature. If you're not 100% all the way in love, I'm trying to push you and court you and lure you and annoy you to loving the way that I love. Because God said that faith works through love, and it's impossible to please me without faith. So obviously, I need you to learn how to operate in faith, and I need you to operate in love so that we can have a lasting relationship. But if it was all said and done, would we look at God and say, you didn't push me, you didn't court me, you didn't coach me, you didn't annoy me? And to be honest with you, I think annoying people is a great thing. And my dad, he annoys me sometimes, like, so much. Like, even when we're growing up, like, you know, I may be not doing something 100% right and calling me up wherever I am. Hey, Tommy, you know, everything going good? I'm like, yeah, you know, everything's cool. You know, you sure everything's good? I'm like, yeah, it's cool. You know, you want to talk about it? No, I don't really talk about it right now. then I may see him. And he's like, hey, you know, everything good? I'm like, yeah, everything's good. And so, and I'm like, oh, I know he's going to bring it up. Or when I was goofing around in school or something like that, and he's just like, oh, you know, hey, how's the prayer life? And my sisters would tell you, if they were here, every day that we get up, you know, he would come to us. And it, sometimes, like me personally, my something that I got to fight against is I'm a natural grouch when I wake up, okay? And so sometimes I'm just grouchy, and I'm just like, just leave me alone right now. Like, I don't feel like talking. Just let me, you know, be to myself, and then I'll come out of my hole, and then we can talk. You know, he gets up, oh! I'm like, chill out. He's like, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen. I mean, that's how it goes. Isn't it great to be up? And I'm like, yes, but go sit down and leave me alone right now. And he's like, Tommy, but you know, you got to learn how to stir yourself up in the spirit. I'm like, okay, that's great, but I'm tired. You know, go stir me some chocolate milk right now, and then I will be a little bit better. You know, and sometimes, you know, he would get his feelings hurt and stuff, and I'm just like, Daddy, I'm sorry, but he's courting me, he's luring me, he's annoying me to get me to the point to where I automatically wake up, and if I don't feel like it, or I may be on a down day, or I may not be, you know, things may not be well, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, the joy of the Lord is my strength, woo, I'm ready to go, I'm excited. He's like, woo, I'm just like, man, this dude is something else sometimes, man. But it's training me. And I was talking about that to you guys last time in second service. Like, Jesus Christ trained 30 years for 3 years of work and execution. And my dad is training me, and he's courting me, and he's coaching me. Because best believe that me, his son, is going to be in the game of life. And there's going to become a day where, Tommy, I can't train you anymore. I have trained you, and you're only as good as your training. See, good parents, they annoy and they bother and they persist their kids. That's why young adults listen to your parents. I don't care if you're annoyed. I don't care if you're bothered, because they went through what you're going through and they care enough about you to say something to you. If they didn't say anything, if they didn't lure you, if they didn't court you, if they didn't push you, if they didn't annoy you, if they didn't stalk you on Facebook and see what you're doing. They want to make sure that you're not hooking up with somebody on the internet that can be a crazy fool. Because you're in the game of life, and you're only as good as your training. And God is saying, I'm courting you, I'm luring you, I'm pushing you. Why? So that when you wake up, it'll just become second nature. So that eventually your training will take you over to where you walk and you act just like me. Imagine how awful it would be to have your child say to you, I don't really love you, and I don't really want your love, but I would certainly want my allowance. Some of y'all are like, I'd be in jail right now, Pastor Tommy. Conversely, what a beautiful gift it is to have the one you love look you in the eye and say, you know what, I love you. I don't love your beauty, not just your money, your family, or the things that you can give me. Dude, I just love you. The best things in life are the gifts that come from the one who steadfastly loves us. But it's important to ask us this question. Are we in love with God or just his stuff? Am I in love with God or just the things that he can do for me? Can you say that to God? Because our love from him, our love for him, always comes up of his love for us. Do you love this God who is everything? Or do you just love everything that he gives? I don't know about you, but I want to love God completely with all that I have. So that when I wake up, 90% of my prayer is focused on how much I love you, fellowshipping with you, praying for others. And then the other 10% of my prayer is the things that I need. Because God said that when you seek first the kingdom of God, all those things that you need shall be added unto you. I want to give you guys a lukewarm test. Just a couple things that are going to smack you in the face pretty hard, but just take it and roll with it. And just, what's the word I'm looking for? Search yourself on the inside to see, am I lukewarm? Because the Bible says that if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out. You're either hot or you're cold. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 24, King David replied to Arunah, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. In other words, what he said was, if it doesn't cost me anything, then I don't want to give it to God. And how many of us give sacrifices to God that don't really cost us anything? And here's how I can say it the best. You say, well, how do I know if I'm sacrificing? Here, it's this simple. If God asks you to give something, which is normally your best, would you give it? You just bought a pair of new Jordans, you just bought a new suit, or you just bought a new Louis Vuitton purse that cost $20 million, which is, and it was on sale. And God asks you, you see somebody that doesn't have, I want you to give this to them. Ooh, that feeling right there, that's sacrificing. No, I'll just go to two seasons ago and give them that one, or I'll give them these shoes that I was going to give away anyway. That doesn't cost you anything. What do you think was the problem between Cain and Abel? Cain, it didn't cost him anything. I don't really care much about the sacrifice. I'm going to just give this to God. Abel said, no, I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to sacrifice something that cost me something because my heart is in it. And the way that I think about it is, when this generation, mine in particular, and even the ones that are living right now, when we get back to the spot and even get to the spot of this right here, it's got to cost me something. I believe that God's spirit and the spirit of God will move even greater. And here's what I mean. A lot of young adults, when the latest Apple product comes out or even Jordans comes out, they line, even Black Friday, they line up hours and almost a day or two in advance. Or maybe some latest movie that's going to open and people are just fanatics of it. They're just obsessed with it. They're preoccupied and they're constantly thinking, I got to have this big screen TV. I got to have this new iPod. I got to have the new iPhone 5. I got to have all this. So as a result, since I have to have it, I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to take my blanket. I'm going to take my coat and me, I'm just going up and I'm going to make sure that I'm in line. Why? So that I can get what I need to have. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to line up at least 10 to 12 hours minimum. And they're not even complaining. The reason I know is because I've been in one of those lines. No, but here's why I was in the line, because my buddy Mike Amy that's come here, he and I were so close. Before he was leaving to Africa, he called me. He's like, dude, can you come to the Beverly Center with me and stand outside of the Apple store? It's going to be for about 3 or 4 hours minimum. And then hopefully we'll get what we need to get. And I just want to spend some time. I was like, okay, cool, let's do it. And so what happened was we stood out for like 7 hours and I didn't even get anything. But I was there for him, and I'm just looking at these people like, man, this is crazy. Like, I mean, they are as happy as can be, Q. But like, they're not like, oh, man, we're about to wait 8 hours. They're like, ooh, I'm excited, man. You know, one person had this little chair. You know what I'm saying? These folks know what they were doing. One person came in. The chair was strapped to the back. They had a lunch pail. He had a DVD player. Like, oh, we're about to get it in, player. So, you know, he sits up his seat. They're chilling 5, 6, 7 hours, and no one's complaining. Everybody's all excited, like, ooh, you're good. Which one are you going to get, 16 gig, 32, 64? Oh, man, mine's going to be white. Yours going to be like, oh, man, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to tell you what I'm going to do with mine. Ooh, you know, and all this stuff. And, woo, man, I can't wait. And if somebody gets in my way, if they get socked, if they get elbowed, if they get trampled, it don't matter. I got to get what I got to get because this cost me something. Why? Because of the value that I place upon that. So watch this. How come when we have church and we assemble together, or we have a special guest speaker coming in, or if we have a prayer meeting, or if we're going out to pass out water in the streets, or if we're going out and evangelizing, how come we're not camping out outside 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8 hours in advance? Because God, I desire you. See, because the problem is you don't value it. And sometimes you don't value what you don't know. And a lot of people don't know God. And a lot of people aren't at that spot yet. And if you're at that spot, then okay, but learn how to get better. But I don't know about you. I'm at the point right now where I would be one of those people standing outside. I have done it to go hear the voice of God, to go to a meeting, even to come here to church. And I tell people all the time, like, I'll be honest, man, like the 8:30 service, like it gets me every time. Like it is way early for me. Like I just be honest. Like I ain't the cat that gets up at like 6:30 all the time. But I know that come Sunday, I've got to prepare myself for that. And I will be here when I need to be here. And I will do what God has called me to do. Why? Because it costs me something. But I value it. Whether I'm working behind the scenes, whether I'm greeting on the doors, whether I'm in the parking lot, or whether I'm up here teaching you guys, I've got to get myself ready. Because if I'm going to do what God has called me to do, I understand that I've got to sacrifice. And I understand that it's got to cost me something. Amen. Lukewarm people tend to choose what is popular over what is right.
The Word of Victory has been brought to you by Antelope Valley Christian Center, which is pastored by Dr. Tom Pickens. Our morning worship services are held on Sundays at 8:30 and 11:30 a.m., with weekly services for children, teens, young adults, seniors, and men held throughout each week. We are located at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard in Lancaster. For more information about Antelope Valley Christian Center, call 661-949-7200 or visit us on the web at abccusa.org and on Facebook.